none are so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depths of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehood till wrong looks like right in their eyes. For all of those with eyes that can see, whose spirits are quickened by words they can hear, the truth is alive and he lived as a man whose life was a gift to this world. And if he has called you, this mystery will soon be revealed, and it will set you free. The truth will set you free, just like he set me free.
Greetings, my Israelite brothers and sisters. May the divine influence be with you. Brother Hebert presents part 4 of Jesus Was a Jew, or Was He? You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Jesus Was a Jew, or Was He? Can be found in the main menu. In part 3, we covered the covenant of circumcision with Abraham and his seed after him. We've shown previously that Abraham was not the first Hebrew. His great-great-great-great-grandfather Eber was the first Hebrew. We also learned that the Jews did not adopt circumcision until around 121 to 125 BC, and that the Jews took this custom and went their own way with it by using their teeth and sucking the blood. This is not how God told Abraham to do this. We learned that Abraham's children through Ishmael were Arabian princes, and later, through race mixing, became the dark race we know today as Arabs. The children of Keturah went east and are the Indo-Aryans. So are Ishmael's and Keturah's children Jews too? We saw that Rebekah, Isaac's wife, was described as fair. We know Rebekah was not Jewish because Abraham told his servant Eleazar not to find a wife for Isaac from the Canaanites. We also find that Rebekah had two nations struggling in her belly. This word for nations is H1471 Goyim. Goyim is what the Jews call non-Jews. So this is just one of the many instances where it proves that the Jews are not Israelites. How could two Gentiles be in the belly of a supposed Jewish woman? They can't. We saw that Esau is Edom, and that he polluted his pure Hebrew offspring by marrying the daughters of Heth, the Hittite, and we showed earlier that the Hittites were a Canaanite tribe with the blood of Cain. Isaac and Jacob were instructed not to take wives from the Canaanites. We saw that Esau's son Amalek was the father of the Amalekites, whom Yahweh was against, and the Amalekites were to be devoted to utter destruction. We then continued tracing the lineage of Jesus through Jacob. We saw Jacob had 12 sons and revealed which countries they went on to settle. We saw that all the white countries of the world bear their emblems. We followed the line through Judah, Jacob's son, and we saw the odd but providential situation which brought about Tamar's pregnancy with Zerah and Perez by Judah, her father-in-law. That Jesus Christ is of the line of Perez, and that the kings of Judah were coronated over the pillow of Jacob, which he rested on one night in Bethel. This is called the Stone of Destiny, and called the Leah Fail Stone by the Irish. We covered the historical and biblical records of Zedekiah's daughters, and how they made it up to Ireland, fulfilling God's plan for Jeremiah to build and to plant. We saw that Jeremiah took this stone with him when he, Baruch, and the king Zedekiah's daughters were taken to Egypt. From there, they went on to Spain, Scotland, and Ireland, where Jeremiah is buried. We saw Irish legend and history reveal that Alam Fadlah was none other than Jeremiah. The stone made its way to Britain, where all the kings and queens of Britain were coronated over this stone. We even have shown photos of Queen Elizabeth II being coronated over this stone. We also saw the Declaration of Arbroath of 1320 by the Scottish, in which they clearly trace their Israelite roots. I pray you are beginning to see that we are not covering Jewish history. This is Israelite history. We have seen from this examination of genealogy from Adam to Noah, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob's sons, that these were not Jewish people. We have traced Adam's descendants as white people, by definition and description, to white nations and white kings and queens. Most of you will continue to have a hard time accepting this because of all your years, if not decades, of church programming and by the presumptions repeated in society and the assumptions from bad translation and from the supposition of accepting without examination that the Jews are the Israelites of the Bible. But we are not done yet. We have much more to reveal. Let's continue tracing the line of Christ through Judah's son Perez. Judah begat Perez and Zerah. Christ Jesus is a descendant of Perez. Judah is the kingly tribe. Judah is found in Germany, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, and Denmark. The line to Christ continues through Perez. Perez begat Esrom, begat Aram, begat Aminadab, begat Naasson, begat Salmon, begat Boaz. Boaz marries Ruth, Ruth 1:3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Ruth and Naomi came to Bethlehem. Naomi's husband was a kinsman of Boaz, a wealthy man of the family of Elimelech. Ruth went to glean ears of grain in the fields of Boaz. Boaz took notice of Ruth. Boaz was told that Ruth left the land of her father and her mother and of her birth to remain with Naomi, her mother-in-law. Boaz commanded Ruth not to glean in another field, but to abide in his field only. Ruth 2:20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of Yahweh, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. Naomi instructs Ruth how to present herself unto Boaz. Chapter 3, verse 9. And he said, Who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your handmaid. Spread therefore your skirt over your handmaid, for you are a near kinsman. Boaz tells Ruth that he will do the part of a kinsman to her, but he tells her that there is a kinsman nearer unto her than he. Boaz fills the nearer kinsman in on the deal, which also required buying the land of Naomi's dead husband and raising up his first son with Ruth in the name of the dead husband. The nearer kinsman declined the offer, and Ruth was acquired by Boaz as his wife, in which he performed the duty of next kinsman. Chapter 4, verse 11. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. Yahweh make the woman that is come into your house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Yisra'el. And do you worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let your house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which Yahweh shall give you of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and he went in unto her. Yahweh gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be Yahweh, which has not left you this day without a kinsman redeemer, that his name may be famous in Yisra'el. This is also referring to Christ, our kinsman redeemer. Verse 15, And he shall be unto you a restorer of your life, and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law, which loves you, which is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became a caregiver unto him. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. When the Israelites entered the Promised Land, after their 40 years wandering in the Exodus, the land of Moab was the first territory they conquered. Numbers 21:25. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon, and in all the villages thereof. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab, and taken all his land out of his hand, even to Arnon. Wherefore they that speak in Proverbs say, Come into Heshbon, let the city of Sihon be built and prepared. For there is a fire gone out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It has consumed Ar of Moab, and the lords of the high places of Arnon. Woe to you, Moab! You are undone, O people of Chemosh! He has given his sons that escaped, and his daughters, into captivity unto Sihon, king of the Amorites. The Israelites conquered the land of Moab, killing all the people they found therein. Toward the end of the 40 years wandering in the Arabian desert, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh saw that the territory of Moab was fertile, and asked Moses his permission to settle there. Deuteronomy 3:12-6. All of this was accomplished by about 1450 BC. From that time on, this was purely Israelite territory. 300 years later, about 1143 BC, we find evidence that the Israelite occupation of the lands of Moab and Ammon was still unbroken. Judges 11:12-26. The land of Moab was in the hand of Israel during the entire time of the Judges. Deuteronomy 23:2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of Yahweh. A bastard is a mamzer in Hebrew, a mongrel, a child of incest, a mixed-race person, anyone not of the race of Adam. Euripides, Hippolytus, line 962 to 963.
The bastard is always regarded as an enemy to the true-born.
Deuteronomy 23:3. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of Yahweh forever. The Ammonites and Moabites were descendants of incest between Lot and his two daughters. Verse 4. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way, when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Nevertheless, Yahweh your God would not hearken unto Balaam, but Yahweh your God turned the curse into a blessing unto you, because Yahweh your God loved you. And you shall not seek their peace, nor their prosperity, all your days forever. This states that even to their tenth generation means forever. This is an idiom for forever. So if Ruth was a Moabite by race, then that would make Jesus Christ a Moabite. Ruth was a Moabite by geography. As we just showed, the land of Moab was conquered by and occupied by Israelites. Ruth was an Israelite. Do you still believe what you have been taught in church? Or are you starting to believe in genealogy, purity of race and lineage, the history of these territories, and that, with the correct information, the truth is revealed? Ruth is also a parable of the relationship between Israelites and Jesus Christ. The link provided will explain it all. Boaz and Ruth begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse, begat David. Describing King David, 1 Samuel 16:12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And Yahweh said,
Arise, anoint him, for this is he.
1 Samuel 17:42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. Ruddy, in verses 12 and 42, is H-132, Admoni, meaning red, ruddy, and its related word is H-119, Adam, which means to show blood in the face, flush, or turn rosy. From Webster's 1828 dictionary, fair, an adjective, clear, free from spots, free from a dark hue, white, as a fair skin, a fair complexion, hence beautiful, handsome, properly, having a handsome face, pleasing to the eye, handsome or beautiful in general. David begat Solomon. Song of Solomon 1:8. If you know not, O you fairest among women, go your way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed your kids beside the shepherd's tent. Your cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, your neck with chains of gold. Song of Solomon 5:10. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. White is H-6703, tsak, which means sunny, bright, white. Ruddy, here in this verse, is H-122, adom, which means red, ruddy, rosy, from H-119, adam, to show blood in the face, that is, flush or turn rosy. Joseph's line. The genealogy recorded in Matthew is the natural genetic succession and the descent according to the succession of the throne of David. If Joseph dies without any issue or son, then Christ becomes the legal and lawful heir of the throne of David. And even though his conception occurred before Joseph's death, Yahweh himself raises up seed for Joseph in the person of the Christ. If, however, the other sons of Mary are the actual physical children of Joseph, the right to the throne is contested. Solomon begat Rehoboam, begat Abiah, begat Asa, begat Jehoshaphat, begat Joram, begat Ozias, begat Joatham, begat Achaz, begat Hezekiah, begat Manasseh, begat Amon, begat Josiah, begat Jeconias, begat Salathiel, begat Zerubbabel, begat Abiud, begat Eliakim, begat Azor, begat Sadok, begat Achim, begat Eliud, begat Eleazar, begat Matan, begat Jacob, begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary's line. The genealogical record in Luke is the natural genetic succession, showing that Mary is a descendant of David. Nathan begat Mathatha, begat Menon, begat Meliah, begat Eliakim, begat Jonan, begat Joseph, begat Judah, begat Simeon, begat Levi, begat Mathat, begat Joram, begat Eleazar, begat Jose, begat Er, begat Elmodam, begat Kosam, begat Adi, begat Melki, begat Neri, begat Salathiel, begat Zerubbabel, begat Risa, begat Joanna, begat Judah, begat Joseph, begat Simi, begat Mathathias, begat Maath, begat Nagi, begat Esli, begat Nahum, begat Amos, begat Mathathias, begat Joseph, begat Janna, begat Melki, begat Levi, begat Mathat, begat Heli, begat Mary. Mary and the family tree of Jesus. Ancient tradition says that Anne, the mother of the Virgin Mary, was of Cornish origin. She was British. It is not generally known, but there is a family tree of Jesus from the time of Adam in the Herald's office at the English College of Arms. From that document, we glean the information that Anne, mother of the Virgin Mary, was married three times. Her first husband was Joachim, by whom she had the Virgin Mary. Her second husband was Cleophas, and her third, Salome. Anne had a sister by the name of Bianca, who was the mother of Saint Joseph. Thus, Saint Joseph, the Virgin Mary's husband, was also her first cousin. That is an important fact in the development of this enquiry because it would indicate that Joseph of Arimathea was an uncle of both Mary and Joseph. This view is confirmed in the Harleian MSS, which is held in the British Museum. Confirmation that Penarden, granddaughter of Joseph of Arimathea, married King Lear of Britain, is to be found in a manuscript which is held at Jesus College in England. From the chart provided, we can see the contemporary nature of events. Joseph of Arimathea, uncle of the Virgin Mary and Joseph. Joseph's daughter Anna bore Penarden, who married the British King Lear. She had Bran, the British king, who then had Caractacus, a British king, and they begat Gladys. Gladys, the British princess who married the Roman nobleman Rufus Pudens and changed her name to Claudia and became host to the Apostle Paul. And Paul says in Romans 16:13, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Master, and his mother and mine." If this is the same Rufus, then Paul and Rufus were half-brothers. It is interesting to note that King Arthur and all the knights of the Round Table claimed descent from Joseph of Arimathea. This places the British in the center of things. If you look at the lineage of the British kings, you can trace from Queen Elizabeth II down to King David. There are links provided. Note, Jews were not kings. King Herod was an Idumean Jew, but he was not a king. He was a tetrarch, which is a ruler of a fourth. He was placed into his position by the Romans. So after we've plainly traced and followed the lineage of Adam to Noah to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his 12 sons, Judah, and his 2 sons, Zerah and Pharez, and the line of Pharez through the kings of Judah, and on through the kings of Ireland, Scotland, and Britain, are you starting to see that the Jews are not Israelites, Hebrews, or children that sprung from Adam? It's still up to you to believe whatever you want. So are you going to believe your church, your preacher, Jews, or the mistranslations of the King James Version and other Bibles when they say Jesus was a Jew but can't prove it with any evidence? Or are you interested in learning more? Because there is much, much more to uncover, and plenty of evidence that proves who is who. Let's continue, and thank you for following along this far. The truth is always controversial. It matters who and what we believe. So from the birth of Jesus to when he was 12 years old, we see that Herod tried to have the Christ child murdered. Herod was an Idumean, also attested to by Josephus, the Judahite historian. Idumeans were Edomites. Edomites are descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob. Esau's children are the Jews. Joseph took Mary and the child and went into Egypt until the death of Herod. Then, after the death of Herod, Yahweh instructed Joseph to bring the young child and his mother back to the land of Israel. When they turned aside into the parts of Galilee, they dwelt in a city called Nazareth, fulfilling the word spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Describing Nazarites, Lamentations 4:7, "Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire." By now, you should know that ruddy describes the white man. Ruddy in this verse is H-119, Adam, which is the Hebrew description of the race of Adam. Sapphire, in any dictionary, reads the blue color of the gem sapphire. This is used biblically in reference to blue eyes when describing certain Adamic men. We will see later on when we cover the eyewitness accounts and descriptions of Jesus that he had brown hair and blue eyes. We next find Jesus in the temple. Jesus and his mother Mary and his father Joseph were observing Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as is the custom. After the days of the feast were fulfilled, they headed out to return to Nazareth. Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it, supposing he was among them in their journey. They went back and found him in the temple. Luke 2:48, "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why have you thus dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have sought you sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? The next time we see Jesus is when he was 30 years old. What happened to Jesus between the ages of 12 and 30? Britain was the area where Joseph of Arimathea owned great hides of land. In fact, the whole site of Glastonbury in Britain belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. He owned 12 hides of land past the White Cliffs of Dover. There are records that the British king Arviragus granted to Joseph of Arimathea a considerable area at Glastonbury to be held forever free from all taxes as a site for a church and its accessory buildings and fields. Mary was related to the line from which most of the Welsh stock came from in the land of Britain. Here also in Glastonbury was the place of rest for the Mother of Christ, and today you can see the tomb of Mary. Uncle Joe was a wealthy and influential man. He was a member of the Essenes, and he was also a member of the Sanhedrin. Uncle Joe owned tin mines and gained his wealth as an importer of the tin trade, which existed between Cornwall and Phoenicia, and he came in a boat to Cornwall, bringing the boy Jesus with him and teaching him how to extract tin and purge it. Early Cornish tin miners were known to chant, "Joseph was in the tin trade," as they worked. He is also mentioned in traditional miners' songs. Tradition says that Jesus was brought to Britain by his uncle Joseph in a ship of Tarshish to the Summerland, which is Somerset. Tradition also attests that much of Jesus' sojourn in Britain was spent at or near Glastonbury. A couple of years after the Jews murdered Christ, they had arrested Joseph of Arimathea, Lazarus, the Virgin Mary, Martha, and two other Christians, put them into a boat and set them adrift in the Mediterranean without oars or sails. They finally reached the land and went to Britain. Records show that Joseph of Arimathea was the first to preach the gospel in Britain. Uncle Joe was also buried at Glastonbury. So we see, therefore, that not only ancient legends and ancient historical records, but the official acts and records of kings of the Middle Ages have recognized the close connection of Joseph of Arimathea, the uncle of Jesus Christ, with Cornwall and Glastonbury in Britain. All of these lend strong support to the ancient legends and records of these places, that it was here that Jesus Christ spent those 18 years of his life, which the Bible does not account for. And where else would we expect him to go, but to what was to become the principal home of his own people, Israel? If Jesus was indeed absent from Judea from age 12 to age 30, as some believe, we should be able to find evidence that this was the case. In Matthew 17, Jesus was being asked for the stranger's tax. They seemed aware that Jesus lived in Capernaum. They didn't know if he was exempt from the tax, having been gone for a long time. Then we find two accounts of Jesus' identity being questioned. Is this not Joseph's son? Brought up here? Luke 4. Is not this the carpenter's son? Matthew 14. Of Jesus' visits to England, scattered evidence abounds. Here's a short scenario from C.C. Dobson. As a boy, he was brought merrily for a visit by Joseph of Arimathea on one of his voyages. Later, as a young man, he returned and settled at Glastonbury for the purpose of quiet study, prayer, and meditation. Here he erected for himself a small house of mud and wattles. Dobson goes on to present historical evidence. In a letter to Pope Gregory, St. Augustine states that there was a church
constructed by no human art, but divinely constructed, or by the hands of Christ himself, for the salvation of his people.
The historian, Gildas, says Jesus' light and precepts were afforded to this island during the last year of the reign of Tiberius. Tiberius retired to Caprae in A.D. 27. William of Malmesbury includes in his writings the contents of a letter given by King Ina to Glastonbury, 700 A.D.,
to the ancient church, situate in the place called Glastonbury, which church the great high priest and chiefest minister formerly through his own ministry, and that of angels.
This confirms Gildas' statement that Jesus had a ministry in Glastonbury. The historical records called the Domesday Surveys also bears witness to Jesus' presence in Glastonbury. These surveys state that Glastonbury contained 12 hides, 160-acre parcels, of land that have never paid tax. This is because the King Arviragus gave these parcels to Joseph of Arimathea when he arrived in England in 37 AD. Now let's examine the word Jew. This is going to be hard to see, comprehend, and accept, unless you examine the evidence. Of course, people who go to church, read their Bible, and listen to their preacher will say, think, and believe that Jesus was a Jew. It says so in the Bible, and it does. Jew is used 32 times. Jews is used 257 times. Jewish is used once. Jew is used only 10 times in the Old Testament and 22 times in the New Testament. Jews is used only 82 times in the Old Testament and 175 times in the New Testament. I have done a full study on the word Jew, every verse, every occurrence, every definition, and reveal the true identity of who is Jew and who is Judah. Unless you understand who is who in Scripture, you will never understand Scripture. God is not the author of confusion. The Scriptures are not a mystery if you know the history. The word Jew was not in the original manuscripts. The made-up word Jew was added to the Scriptures, and it replaced the original Hebrew and Greek words Yahuda and Judeos. The common belief and presumption is that the Jews are of the tribe of Judah. Judah was one of six sons born to Jacob and Leah. Jacob and Leah were not Jews, as we have shown earlier in his lineage, and Leah did not bear five Israelite sons and one Jewish son named Judah. Remember, kind after kind, from the beginning of the study? If the Jews are Israelites or of the tribe of Judah, then why do only 7 of 40 Old Testament books use the word Jew? If the Old Testament is supposed to be about the Jews, then why are they not mentioned in 33 books of the Old Testament? H 3063, Yehuda, is the Hebrew for Judah. It is used 820 times in the Old Testament. It identifies the man Judah, the tribe of Judah, the house of Judah, and the territory of Judah. It never identifies Jews in the Old Testament, ever. H 3061, Yahud, is the Aramaic for the territory of Judah. It's a noun locative. H 3062, Yehudai, is the Aramaic for identifying those of the house of Judah, Judahites. H 3064, Yahudim, is used 75 times and was replaced with the word Jews. Yahudim are Judahites. It's used in 2 Kings, Nehemiah, Esther, Jeremiah, and Zechariah. These books were specifically about the house of Judah, Judahites. So every time you see the word Jew in the Old Testament, it never is identifying a Jew. The word Jew also replaced the Greek word for Judah in the New Testament. Judah in the New Testament is Judeos, which is a Judahite. Everywhere you see Jew in the New Testament, it should read Judean, and it refers to Judahites of the house of Judah, and sometimes it is referring to Jews. Why does it refer to Israelites and Jews in the New Testament? Here is some history regarding the land of Judah and the land of Idumea. From the Encyclopedia Judaica, 6 through 378, 1971.
After the death of Herod in 4 BC, Edom was included with Judea and Samaria in the ethnarchy of Archelaus. Edom became part of the Roman province of Judea. Thus, Edomites and Judeans became affiliated.
Judah was the land of the tribe of Judah. This was land inhabited by Israelites of the house of Judah. Idumea was the land of the tribes of Esau. This land was inhabited by Edomites of the house of Esau. During the 1st century BC, the land of Judah was forcibly merged with the land of Idumea, which is how we get the name Judea for the land once known as Judah. Judea in the Greek is Judea. If the lands of Judah and Idumea were never merged, the land of Judah would have remained known as Judah in the Greek. And the Jews of Idumea would not have been integrated with the Israelites of Judah. So instead of Judah being Israelite land with Israelites living in it, and Idumea being Edomite land with Edomite Jews living in it, those lands were merged and Jews and Israelites were forced to live together. Jews were forced to be circumcised and adopt the faith of the Israelites. So a Judean at this time was not only a Judahite Israelite of the house of Judah, but also included Edomite Jews of Idumea. The Jews are trying to impersonate the tribe of Judah. They only started claiming to be Hebrews and Israelites in 1860 AD. Jesus was not referred to as a so-called Jew until the 18th century when the fraudulent, made-up word Jew was placed in the revisions of the Bible. Jews were not called Jews until the 18th century. Jews began to call themselves Hebrews and Israelites in 1860, Encyclopedia Judaica, 1971, Volume 10, 23. Before that, the Jews were called Amalekites, Edomites, Canaanites, Idumeans, Sepharvaim, and Khazars. The word Jew does not belong in the scriptures. It's a made-up word designed to deceive the ignorant into supporting and worshiping them. A Jew is not an Adamite. A Jew is not of the race of Adam, as this study has shown. The Hebrew words and definitions define the race of Adam. The descriptions and adjectives used in Scripture describe the race of Adam. The nations sprung from the sons of Adam and of Noah were shown to be once white nations. Some still are, such as Greece and Russia, and a few others. Cain was not Adam's son. Cain was the first Jew. In his book Cain, Son of the Serpent, David Max Eichhorn traces back to early Jewish Midrashic texts and identifies many rabbis who taught that Cain was the son of the union between the serpent and Eve. Some Kabbalist rabbis also believe that Cain and Abel were of a different genetic background than Seth. In paragraph 1 of Protocol 3 of the Learned Elders of Zion, the leaders of Jewry admit that the Jews are the serpent race of Satan. A Jew is not a Semite, as Shem, the son of Noah, are whom the Israelites descended from, and as shown, the sons of Jacob were Shemites and went on to found the European nations and eventually America. We also saw how anti-Semitism is wrongly attributed to Jews, who are not Shemitic people. But don't take my word for it. The Jewish Encyclopedia, Khazar Jews.
Khazars, a non-Semitic, Asiatic, Mongolian tribal nation who emigrated into Eastern Europe about the 1st century.
A Jew is not a Hebrew. The Jews admit that they are not descendants of the ancient Israelites in their own writings, under the heading of A Brief History of the Terms for Jew. In the 1980 Jewish Almanac is the following. Strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew, or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew. A Jew is not an Israelite. As this study has shown, the white nation sprung from the tribes of Jacob. As archaeology, migration, and our tribal emblems show. A Jew is not of the tribe of Judah, as shown in the lineage of the kings of Britain, which also showed Zedekiah's daughters, also shown fully in the study on Jew or Judah. The Jews are descendants of Cain. They later mingled with and were absorbed into the Canaanite nations. Esau married into this line through the daughters of Heth. Esau became the father of the Edomite Jews. As admitted even by Jewish authorities, the Jews are primarily descended from an ancient tribe known as the Edomites. It is well documented that approximately 90-95% of modern-day Jews are descended from a tribe known as the Khazars, who converted to Judaism in the 8th and 9th centuries AD while living in what is now southern Russia around the Caspian Sea. What is less known is that these Khazars were, in fact, descended from the Edomites. But don't take my word for it. No one can deny that the Jews are a most unique and unusual people. That uniqueness exists because of their Edomite heritage. You cannot be English Jews. We are a race, and only as a race can we perpetuate. Our mentality is of Edomitish character, and differs from that of an Englishman. Enough subterfuges. Let us assert openly that we are international Jews. Manifesto of the World Jewish Federation, January 1, 1935, through its spokesperson, Gerald Soman. In the quote above, you can see Gerald Soman boldly proclaiming that the Jewish race and the unique nature of the Jewish people is attributable to their ethnicity as Edomites. Remember, Esau is Edom. Here is a summary from the study on Jew or Judah of the word Jew in the books of the Old Testament. The word Jew is not used in Genesis because Genesis is about the race of Adam. The word Jew is not used in Exodus because Jews were not in bondage to any man. The Jews were not slaves in Egypt. The children of Israel were. The word Jew is not used in Leviticus because Jews were not Levites or priests of God. The word Jew is not used in Numbers because the census was of Israelites, not Jews. Jews were not taken out of Egypt because Jews were never in bondage to any man. Jews were living in Mount Seir at that time. The word Jew is not used in Deuteronomy because Yahweh gave the laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments to Israelites. Deuteronomy is a repeating of the law to the Israelites just before they entered the Promised Land, which was already inhabited by Canaanites and Jews. The word Jew is not used in Joshua because Joshua and the children of Israel were ridding the land of Jews, which were called Canaanites at that time. The word Jew is not used in Judges because the judges were Israelites. Today's judges in the courts are Jews. The word Jew is not used in Ruth, because Ruth and Boaz were the great-grandparents of King David, and David is not a Moabite. The word Jew is not used in 1 and 2 Samuel or 1 Kings, because Israelites are not Jews. The first time the word Jew is used is in 2 Kings 16:6. The original manuscripts and the early translations do not have the word Jew in them. This was later added everywhere to replace the Hebrew word Yahuda, which is Judah or Judahite. The word Jew was not inserted into the translations until the 18th century AD. We see in Ezra that Jews were placed in the territory of Judah while the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon. The Jews tried to get the Persians to stop the Judahites from rebuilding. We see in Nehemiah that the Judahites were not Jews, because the Jews were among those who were trying to hinder the construction and rebuilding. Sanballat was one of the many opponents of Nehemiah and the returning Judahites who tried to hinder the rebuilding. Sanballat was mocking the Israelites of the tribe of Judah. Sanballat was mocking Judahites, not Jews. The people at Nehemiah's table were not Jews. They were Judahites from the captivity, and also some of the Judahites that were from among the surrounding nations that were left from the invasion that did not go into captivity, but remained as vine dressers and farmers to feed the Babylonian troops that were left behind. The merchants coming to sell on the Sabbath were Canaanite Jews. In Esther, Esther, Mordecai, and her people were not Jews. They were Judahites of the house of Judah. Haman was the Jew who was trying to genocide all the Judahites, just as the Jews tried to genocide the Germans or the Boers in South Africa, both of whom are of the tribe of Judah. And just like today, they are covertly genociding our people through chemtrails, pharmaceuticals, vaccinations, poisons in our food and water, and killing us spiritually with Jewish Jesus and church doctrine. The word Jew is not used in Job, because Job was not a Jew, neither was Job's fair daughters. The word Jew is not used in the Psalms, because the Jews don't praise Yahweh. David was not a Jew. Jews are not ruddy or fair, or can be traced to British kings. The word Jew is not used in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes or the Song of Solomon, because Solomon was not a Jew. The word Jew is not used in Isaiah, because Isaiah is not about Jews. The phrase, the Jews' language, is used twice in Isaiah, but it is not the Jews' language being spoken by Rabshakeh. It's the Judahites' language, because Jews are not Judahites. The Jews were not under siege because the Jews were in their own lands at this time, and besides, the Jews were never in bondage to the Assyrians. Jeremiah was the voice of Yahweh to the house of Judah in Jerusalem in the last days of the ancient kings. The people of the southern kingdom of Judah were not Jews. They were Judahites. The Jews were mostly living in their own territory at this time south of the territory of Judah. Their territory was called Idumea. The Idumeans were Edomites, and Edomites are the Jews. The Babylonians came and took the Judahites away in Jeremiah. The Jews were not taken captive by the Babylonians, because the Jews have never been in bondage to any man. The Jews actually helped the Babylonians in the destruction of Jerusalem. Remember David asking Yahweh to remember when the Jews said,
raise it to the foundations thereof.
The word Jew is not used in Lamentations, because Jeremiah was not a Jew, and he was not lamenting over the destruction of the Jewish people or their territory. Jeremiah was lamenting over his people, Judahites of the house of Judah, in Jerusalem. The word Jew is not used in Ezekiel, because Ezekiel is not about Jews. In Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not Jews. They were Judahites. The Jews were never in bondage to any man. The word Jew is not used in Hosea, because Hosea is not about Jews. Hosea prophesied of the time that Israel was taken captive by the Assyrians. No Jews were ever in bondage to any man. The word Jew is not used in Joel, because Joel is not about Jews. The word Jew is not used in Amos, because Amos is not about Jews. Amos prophesied to the northern kingdom of Israel. The word Jew is not in Obadiah, but Obadiah is all about the Jews. It would be too obvious if the word Jew was used in Obadiah. We'll get to this one later. The word Jew is not in Jonah, because Jonah is not about Jews. Jonah is about the Assyrian city of Nineveh. The Assyrians were kinsmen to Israel through the other sons of Shem. The Assyrians were Shemites, so are the Jews Assyrians now too? The word Jew is not used in Micah, because Micah is not about Jews. Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. Micah's ministry focused on forecasting God's impending judgment on the ancient northern kingdom of Israel, and of other things such as sin, the impending judgment of Judah and Jerusalem, and the restoration of Israel. Micah was not about Jews, because Jews were not living in the southern kingdom of Judah. Jews were not taken captive by the Assyrians, and Jews were never in bondage to any man. The word Jew is not used in Nahum, because Nahum is not about Jews. Nahum is the sequel to Jonah. It's about Assyrians and the fall of Nineveh. The word Jew is not used in Habakkuk, because Habakkuk is not about Jews. Habakkuk ministered a few years before the fall of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians. Habakkuk is not about Jews because he was warning the Judahites of the house of Judah about the coming punishment and captivity. These wouldn't be Jews because the Jews were not taken captive by the Babylonians. They helped the Babylonians destroy Jerusalem. The word Jew is not used in Zephaniah because Zephaniah is not about Jews. The word Jew is not used in the book of Haggai because Haggai is not about Jews. Haggai was a prophet of Judah after the Babylonian captivity. The word Jew is used only once in Zechariah, but it is talking about the lost 10 tribes taking hold of the skirt of him that is a Judahite who would remind them of their heritage and the commandments. Zechariah chapter 5 is about the vision of a flying scroll that had the ability to swoon the people, and they were swooned. The children of Israel in Judea have been swooned into the doctrine of the Pharisees. The flying scroll is a reference to the Talmud and Judaism. Today's churches are swooned by this flying scroll as well. The word Jew is not found in Zephaniah or Malachi, because those books are not about Jews. In the Maccabees, Judas Maccabeus and the Judahites fought against Esau's children in Idumea. Esau's children are the Jews. Idumea was the territory of the Edomite Jews. This is one of the reasons why the apocryphal literature was removed from Scripture, because it plainly differentiates between Israelites and Idumeans. It differentiates between Judahites and Jews, between Jacob and Esau. The word Jew is found over 150 times in the four books of the Maccabees. Every time it should read Judahites. In the books of the Maccabees, the Jews are called Idumeans, because Idumea was the land of the Jews. So in the Old Testament, when you see the word Jew, it never means a Jew. It always means a Judahite, one from the tribe of Judah or of the house of Judah. The New Testament is a little different. It should still never say Jew. When you see the word Jew in the New Testament, it should read Judahite or Judean. A Judahite is always an Israelite. A Judean can be an Israelite or a Jew or anyone else living in Judea, because a Judean is a citizen of Judea. Herein lies the trickery. You have to be Jew-savvy and understand who is who. We don't have the space or time to cover all that in the New Testament in this study, so please, please take the time to examine Jew or Judah. The links are provided.